Tofsamach Tess. One Svif. Osu Loima al Shum Behema. It's page Ein Ches. In volume. Osu Loima al Shum Behema. It's also to say on any animal, bein chaya or bein shchuta, whether it's alive or it's already shechted, boso ze le pesach. One may not say about the meat which is a live animal or meat in the freezer, that this meat is for Pesach. Why? Lefi shenira shekdishoy mechayim lekorban Pesach. By saying this meat is for Pesach, it would sound like you're saying that this meat is for the Korban Pesach. By saying this is for Pesach, what's Pesach? Pesach could be the Yom Tov, Pesach could be the Korban Pesach. So it would sound like you're saying this is for the Korban Pesach. And if it's for the Korban Pesach, it means it's Kochim. You made it Kochim, l'shem the Korban Pesach. Obviously, if it's alive, the reason why I would think that way is would think that you're actually planning to use this alive sheep for a Korban Pesach. If you say this sheep is for Pesach, people think it sounds like you're making it for Korban Pesach. And if it's dead and it's meat, so then it sounds like you want to use the meat to raise funds to be able to buy a Korban Pesach. Because a person in Kochim can either take a sheep and say this is for a Korban, or he can set aside funds for a Korban. So here, if he has meat in the freezer and he says this is for Pesach, it would sound like you're setting this piece of meat aside to raise, you'll sell the meat and create funds to be able to buy a Korban Pesach. And therefore what? V'nimtza oichel kodshe b'chutz. And therefore this meat, if it's designated for the Pesach, if you eat it now on Yom Tov, on a normal Yom Tov Seudah, it's like eating kodshe. It's got a din of kodshe because you've set it aside for the Korban. So what should you say? You should say this meat is for Yom Tov. It's what bought in Talocha. You shouldn't say, you know, Erev Pesach morning, your wife or the table takes those stuff out of the freezer and say this is for Pesach. You shouldn't be saying on the meat, this is for Pesach, because it would sound like it's for Korban Pesach. It's important Talocha. Okay. Says the Ramah, Ugdi Mekulas. Now, in those days, we don't have this type of thing, but in those days, they used to roast their meat on a fire. So the way the Korban Pesach in the time of the Beit HaMikdash was, they took the whole sheep, they put it on a spit, they put the inside next to, on the outside of the whole sheep, next to it on a stick, and they hung it over the fire, and the fire roasted it. That's how they did it. So a person who wants to do that nowadays with his own sheep, ugdim, or his own lamb, ugdim akulas perish shomim, it's a complete sheep with its head, its insides and everything. Then you want to roast that. Even if it doesn't say that's for Pesach, just doing the action alone. Even if it doesn't say this bosses el Pesach, one may not do that. That means you're not allowed to recreate the situation of the Korban Pesach, putting it on a stick, putting it over the fire, even if it's not a Korban Pesach, it's regular chulin meat, regular chulin animal, but by putting it over the fire, it looks like you're trying to copy the Korban Pesach, and it looks like it is really a Korban Pesach. Avol muta loima, but one may say, chitim elu lepesach. One may say that these, even though we just said meat, you can't say it's for Pesach, but you could say these kernels of wheat is for Pesach, because nobody will think you mean to be maktiv shit the Korban Pesach. They'll assume that wheat for Pesach means wheat for the matzah. Okay, let's just see the Mishnah Berurah. Also, Leimas, you've got an Aleph. One may not, go back to the first halacha of the Mechaber, one may not say about any piece of meat, whether it's alive or it's shechted, that it's for Pesach. Obviously, that's only the katchila one may not say. But b'di'eved, if somebody says about a piece of meat that it's for Pesach, ein leser habasa la ba'achila. You don't have to, the meat doesn't become osa ba'achila. Just the katchila one shouldn't say this is designated for the Pesach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, honestly, you've got a base, why not? Al shum behema, hainu afilu hu cotton. Even if it's a little behema. Even if it's not the Korban Pesach has to come from a sheep or a lamb or a young goat. Even if it's not a lamb or a young goat, it comes from beef, it comes from a cow. So there's no real reason to think that it's going to be a Korban Pesach. Gam kein also the yachshiduhu sheikdishim echaim liknis midovah Korban Pesach. Because people, as I said, explained before, people will be choshed that accuse him of think that he's designated the funds of this meat for the Korban Pesach. And therefore, when he eats it, because they think this meat is designated for the Korban Pesach, and if he eats it now, they'll think he's eating Kotcha Bachutz. It's also a very important halacha. We know we all put on the ka'ara, a bone. Yeah, we put a ka'ara on the bone, zeichel a carbon Pesach. So you say, you take the bone, just before Pesach, you roast it on a fire, right? So you take a little bone, you put it on an open flame, on the gas, let it roast, let it burn a tiny bit. That is the mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs on the ka'ara. So somebody's on air Pesach afternoon, takes a bone and says, you know, I need to do this for Pesach. That's the same problem. Because by saying I need to do this for Pesach, or no, I need to do this, it's fine. Now, I need this for Pesach. Also very good, because by saying I need this for Pesach, might sound like he wants to use it for the carbon Pesach, and goes into the same gezeirah.
Yeah, for the
seder will be fine, because it's the word Pesach which could imply either the Yom Tov or the carbon. It's very rare that we have, you say it for Sukkot, there's no carbon Sukkot. Pesach is a one thing that it's a name for the Yom Tov and it's a name for the carbon. Saying it's for Pesach, it could be the carbon Pesach.
When does this start from?
Could be. Well, he says he's going to say later, even a few days earlier, anytime, anything. The Badats in Yerushalayim, as far as I remember, they used to have kosher Pesach, and they would change it.
Yeah.
Kosher al Pesach because of this problem. Is the class also do that? I don't know. Because they don't say la. Whenever you say la Pesach, then we don't know what it means. Does it mean for the Yom Tov or does it mean for the carbon? And as soon as it means for the carbon, you come into this problem. They do it for anything. No, because he actually, Mishnah Berurah carries on in the Hemshech. V'inim noshel ha-mechabe mashmei d'dafka behema shehu min ha-koyva gam ha-mizbeach. The mechabe's mashmei talks about an animal. Now you're pointing out that the Yesh Peskim is machmirin gam al ifes v'dogim, because you have shalakdishan in the name of the Oman of Pesach.
So did you say that when they have Pesach food, it doesn't say kosher shal Pesach?
It doesn't say kosher la Pesach, it says kosher al Pesach.
So which is one should be?
Al Pesach is better, because la Pesach means for Pesach. What's for Pesach? Because it means for the Yom Tov or for the carbon. We don't want you to say it's for the carbon, because it would imply...
So if you saw a product in the shop which said...
La Pesach.
Could you still buy it?
Yeah, well, obviously, it's a falsified certificate then, because obviously they've done it wrong, because you think that's even if you don't have it. Don't have la, they have al. You could buy it if you know that it was a real heksha. You could definitely buy it. It just, the hechsherim don't write it like that way because they're worried for this gazero.
You check it out.
Yeah. Yes, but we're worried that you can't actually set aside funds nowadays for any carbon. The Gemara on Shabbos tells us that one of the Amiroim did a shogeg on Shabbos, and he put aside money for a chatos.
You have to be careful you get these products from abroad then, you know, like from France or Italy or whatever.
Right.
You have to look at the
Hechsher. Yeah, the Hechsher changed the wording. It's just an extra. Here, it's talking about the discussion that we have between ourselves. Yeah. You say to your family, this is for Pesach, then we could run into issues. What they write on the Hechsher is just an extra dimension to this Issa. If you look at Sif Cotton Gimel, he says, Bosa Zer the Pesach. You also can't say, take this money and buy me meat for Pesach. Because again, it's the same problem that it sounds like it's for the carbon Pesach. Oh, so if you look at Sifkot and Hay, so we're going on to the second halacha now, onto the Ramah. The Ramah says you're not allowed to roast a lamb or a sheep on a stick because it would look like you're doing a carbon Pesach, because that's how they did it in those days. So the remark that Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Hey, Rotzeh Lomar, L'tzloisei Sholim, you're not allowed to roast it whole. Roishei, the whole, because that's how they did the Korban Pesach, they roasted it whole. Be'er Pesach HaChatzos, Oil Beleil Pesach. That you're not allowed to do it on Ere Pesach or on Noreit Pesach. V'hinele kamon v'simtof ayin vav mevuah isa lechilosoi, v'afilu tzor kamen yomim kodem. I mean, actually, besides the problem of roasting Pesach on Erev Pesach afternoon, roasting meat on Erev Pesach afternoon because it looks like you're making Korban Pesach, you're actually not allowed to eat roasted meat on Leil HaSeder. And we're going to see that later. The halacha is on Leil HaSeder, we do not eat roasted meat. We eat either chicken which is broiled, meat. You cannot eat roasted meat, again, because of the Zeicham not confusing with the Karban Pesach. We don't eat roasted meat. So the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out there's two Isurim going on over here. The Ramah over here is telling us you're not allowed to make it. Even if you're not planning to eat it tonight. I eat it next week. Put it in the freezer. You know how to make it. And the halacha later on is telling you that besides you're not being allowed to make it, you're also not allowed to eat it. V'kad be'er shikamas yosim is one Pesach osa. Kimish asoy k'en tzidas ha-Pesach mamash. Okay, should we see the next sif? The next siman is about fasting on Erev Pesach. Tof ayin sha'b'chayus mis'anin be'er Pesach. The b'chayus fast on Erev Pesach. Says the mechaber. Hamachayus misanin be'er Pesach. The Bechayus fast on Erev Pesach. That's a well-known fast. It's very publicized. And the reason is, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, because they were saved on that day. Everybody, all the other Bechayus, died. And the Bechayus of Klal Yisrael lived. And there's a depth to this. Because Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim was so similar to the Mitzrayim. As we see many times in Chazal, Halalu Ivdei Avodah. And that's how we say in davening, kol v'chayrim ha-rokta v'chayrcha ga'olta. That means, there's the contrast. Their b'chayrus died, our b'chayrus lived. Because when you looked at them, okay, they dressed maybe like Gideon, but in behavior, they were very similar. So if they died, they should also die. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an extra pidyon, an extra redemption for the b'chayrus of Klal Yisrael, and that's why they have to fast. Because at the end of the day, in schusim, in merits, they didn't have much more merits than the Bechiris and the Mitzrayim, and they needed an extra hatzolah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save them. So that's why they fast every year to remember the hatzolah of them. The Chasam Sofer says that the Bechiris themselves fasted on Erev Pesach. They were in Mitzrayim. They were so worried that they would be dragged into this makkah and they would die, that they actually fasted on Erev Pesach to save themselves. And that's why we fast nowadays, to remember that fast that they did then. Because they were worried, they didn't feel themselves that they had much chusim to live. So that's where the source of the idea of that Bechirus fast. Says the Mechaber, Bein Bechoy Me'av, if he's the oldest child from the father's side, that means the mother's already had a few more children, or Bein Bechoy Me'ein, that means he's a Bechoy from the mother's side. That means for the mother it's the first child, but for the father he's got a few wives, already had one or two wives, and he's already had a few children. If he's a Bechoy on that side, or Bechoy on that side, you always have to fast, whether it's Bechoy Me'av or Bechoy Me'ein. Now, we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, okay, we'll see. V'yesh Misha'ima, Sha'afilu Nekeva Bechoy Me'sa'ana. Some say that even a female bechir is fast. Says the remark, the ein haminag came. The minag is not to do so, that women do not fast. So says the Mishnah Berurah, ha bechir is mis'anin, zeichel a nes, shenitzoylu mimakas bechir. To remember the nes, that they were saved from makas bechir. Bein bechir, shemakas bechir is hoysa bechulam. So the Mishnah Berurah is bothered by this. That really, makas bechir wasn't only the bechir. It was every godol shebavais. The oldest child in the house got killed in makas bechirus. And therefore, whether you're bechir from the im, whether bechir from the av, or you're not bechir at all, even not bechir at all, they also died. The oldest child in every household died. So really, it should be nowadays that the oldest child in the house should fast. Could eat a big medish. Umikomakim says the Mishnah Berurah. Why doesn't the oldest fast? Umikomakim the godol abayis where itzvichu disanis. Even though the ness was true by the eldest of every family, but nowadays we don't require the oldest of every family, we require only the Bechor. Now the Mephoshim explain why, because the whole thing is a minig. The whole idea of a Bechor fasting is a minig. It's a minig which we have to keep. We're going to see later lots of halachas about it, but it's only a minig. And therefore, we don't require more than what's mefurish in the Torah. What's mefurish in the Torah? That the Bechiris died. It's called Makas Bechiris for a reason. That the Bechiris died. So although the Medrash tells us that not only the Bechir died, also the eldest of every family died, but since it's not a halacha, it's not a chiyuv to fast, and it doesn't say mefurish in the Torah that the eldest of the families died, so therefore we only require the ones that are mefurish, and that's the Bechiris.
Where did the Minhag come from then, originally?
No, so we're saying, because the Chasam Sofer actually says, because the Bechiris themselves fasted when they were in Mitzrayim, so it just can't, we zecha to that, we fast on in every year. By Tanis Esther, some hold the same idea. Why do we fast Tanis Esther? So there's various pshatim. Some pshatim by Tanis Esther we fast because they fasted in the Megillas Esther for 3 days, right? Because when Esther went into Achshveish, she told everybody, right? But some hold that, no, why do we fast? Because in the Zman of Purim, they had a melchama on Yud Gimel, and they made simcha on Yud Dalet. That means all the Yidden killed the enemies on Yud Gimel, and the simcha Purim was on Yud Dalet in the time of Megillas Esther. So we fast today, zecha, the fasting that they did when they had a melchama. Because the halacha is, when you go out to melchama, that the soldiers fast, you would think it's to go against the grain. You want to go out to war, you don't want to fast, you want to go out to war not feeling so weak. But on based on understanding that our wars don't work with might and strength, our wars work with siyata d'shmaya, so there was a minug in Klal Yisrael when they went out to fight, that they fasted. So in the Zman of the Megillah, Yud Gimel was a day where it was the Na'apichu, where the Klal Yisrael killed the enemies and they killed however many they killed. On that day was a Melchama, so they fasted. So our Tanis Esther is Zecha to that fast. So here was a similar concept of Yom. Bechayus needed Chusin, they needed Chus to be saved in the time of Makkas Bechayus in the Zman of Yitzis Mitzrayim. So they fasted, so we fast Zecha to that fast that they did then. So Mishabur carries on further, Ba'ach and Ephonim, Tzoych Lis'ami. Somebody whose mother had first a Nephel, what's that? Miscarriage. Thank you. So then the child that's born after that in Hilchos Pidin Aben is not a Bechor because the mother's already had a child. But in Hilchos Nachlo, in Yerusha, and we know a Bechor gets a double portion, he is a Bechor. So he's only half a Bechor. A Bechor's got two things. A Bechor Le'inyon Pidin Aben and Bechor Le'inyon Nachlo. If he comes after a miscarriage, he's only a Bechor Le'inyon Nachlo for Yerusha, to get the double Yerusha, but not Bechol in a Pidin Aben. But he also has to fast. V'chol zeh says the Mishavur, Dafka b'nefel vadai. It's only if it's a nefel vadai, ava mi shenoyed acha ben tisho, afa pi shemeis toich shlishim, ein toich nis amis. That means it has to be that it was a vadai nefel, but if the child was born and lived a few days, and then died, then it's not a vadai nefel, because why did it die? We don't know, maybe that child would have lived. Says the Mishavur Kari, don't know, b'choyim kainim levim tzichim gamkein lesanis. This thing of b'choy fasting is not only true about Yisraelim, or even kainim levim also. That filo him rak b'choyim me'im. V'nim tzeinim b'choy nachle, then they also have to fast. And now Mishavur now goes on to say many halachas about the requirement of this fast. And we all get away with it, right? Because we all go to Asiyam, and that way, once we've joined into Asiyam, then we've joined into the Simcha of Asiyam, and with that we yotza our fast. But the Mishnah is talking in those days where they didn't necessarily join in Asiyam. So he says, Kosa Maril, the Tanis Bechim, Tzoych Lehashlim. It's a whole day Tanis, it's not a half day Tanis. That was a Tanis Tzibur. Says the Mishnah, V'nir Dim Chosh Bereshe Be'eno Ein Tzoych Nis'anis. If somebody doesn't feel good, then you can be Mekul. Again, because it's only a minute of this fast, and therefore if somebody missed the Bechim HaBechim, you didn't come to Shachis, or you missed the Siyam HaBechor, there is no Siyam, then if it doesn't feel good, he doesn't have to fast. He says, V'chein nero oed, v'odom sha'tan is kosheloi, anybody who's very hot, difficult for him to fast, v'acha ha'tan is eino yochelecha, the problem with fasting the whole day is, and there's another issue, there's another reason why we are so make about tanis, because somebody fasts the whole day, and it comes to the evening, and very often after the fast, one can't eat. Now, Leila said that there's a lot to eat, plenty matzah, moru, there's a hot called the Shal Pesach, and if you fast the whole day, it's liable that you won't be able to do the mitzvah salaylo. That would be a big shame to do a minig of fasting and coming to the evening and being mevatel the mitzvahs of tukazes and matzah, the afikoyim and the moru, the kerich, the four cups of wine. It would be a shame to miss out being mevatel mitzvahs asay or mitzvahs hidrabonon for the minig. So therefore, that's another reason why we are more makel about the idea of fasting on Erev Pesach. For Korba Dovah Shai Dezer Yochan Kana Yichnis Matzah Umori. It's just about Kriskis Kunov. Mutav Shvoyle Samis. If somebody is scared that he's going to miss out on all the mitzvahs, better he shouldn't fast. Kadeshi Kai Mitzvahs Alayla Kiti Kunov. And then we call Mokim Bezeh Tov Yoysa Shirichak Mene Tagdima. If somebody doesn't fast because it's too hard for him to fast, he should only eat he shouldn't eat the proper meal, just eat small pieces of cake and fruit. So at least he's joined into the fast a bit because he's not eaten a real solid meal. He's only eaten a bit, and that way he's also and it's a bit the siyum. I just want to talk about the fasting. I just want to talk about a bit about the hukas halachas of siyum because it's more relevant to us than fasting because most of us don't fast. There's an interesting chakira. Why does it work to join into a siyum and not and fast that day? So some hold it's joining into the siyum. Siyum, the Gemara says, when somebody has a siyum, avidna yoyma tovara abona. It's like a yom tov. The day is a simcha tikka day. So when you join into that siyum, you listen to the siyum, you're part of the siyum. It's a yom tov for you as well, you're part of that simcha. That's some hold. Some hold that no, it's not being part of the yom tov, part of the simcha. No, the person makes a siyum. After he makes a siyum, he makes a suda. And he invites you to his suda. And you're part of that suda. So you eat in the suda. Once you eat in the suda, then you don't have to fast the rest of the day because you've been invited to the suda. But then there's many, many nafkaminas between that. Because if the idea being that the reason why you don't have to fast is because you've been part of the suda, then you have to really eat with the Messiah, at least stomach, fruit, biscuits. You can't just listen to the siyum and then go home and eat in your own house. Right? Because then what way have you joined into the siyum? If it's, we have two tzadim, if it's the first tzad, that by joining into the siyum, the simcha of finishing something, oh, it's a yom tov today, so, and the yom tov shared with the whole kohol, with the whole kehillah, fine, we're all part of that yom tov, we all don't need to fast. But if it's not, that's not the point. The point is, we join into his sudda, and by joining into his sudda, we eat, and then we don't have to fast, then there has to be a sudda, there has to be what to eat over there. That would be one nafkamina. That means you'd have to make sure that's why the shuls put out l'chaim, the shuls put out cake and different things. Because the ikka, anybody who's a b'chayr, I don't know if anybody here is a b'chayr, but anybody who's a b'chayr should make sure you're a b'chayr. Oh, so you should make sure, so we said it's even going to get a k'ayanim. So a b'chayr would have to make sure to eat even a crumb or two, even something from the suda, that way to be part of the suda. But the evet, if it doesn't catch a piece of cake there, then you can be relying on the other thought, the other svar. That at least he was part of the simcha finishing. He was there for the kaddish. He was there for the everybody wished mazel tov. He's part of the simcha finishing. But you have to hear that as well. If he doesn't hear the siyam, he walks in at the end of the siyam and he doesn't catch anything for the food. Then he left with nothing just because he belongs to that shul and they made the siyam in the shul. That doesn't make him part of the siyam. You have to either have at least the siyam or the suda as well. Another argument will be: can you have siyam through the telephone? Can you listen to the siyam through the telephone? Now, if it's part of the yom tov of finishing, no, you can think maybe on telephone, you can also join in, you can also be part of it. Maybe if they were talking about Skype, maybe even it'd be better. But if it's a suda, well, again, then he's eating his breakfast at home. In what way is he joining into the suda of the simcha in the shul when they're making the suda in the shul? Yeah, so that's even much worse. Yeah, but that's much worse because outside you can hear shofar. Outside you can hear shofar, but let's say on the telephone can you hear all these Abdallah and Kiddush and shofar, you can't hear Kiddush on the shofar on the telephone. But that's much worse because that is the inner being yotza. Inner being yotza question is when you're hearing something on the telephone, are you being yotza? Are you hearing his actual voice or are you hearing some electricity? Here it's about joining into the simcha. Can you join into the simcha through listening on the telephone? It could possibly be, but then at least you have that angle of being part of the simcha of finishing. But if you don't have the suda and you don't have that, then you don't have nothing. There's various halachas, what's called a siyum. Like many poskim hold that if you rush something off just to have a siyum, it's negated the 9 days as well. It's not called a siyum to have, it's called a simcha. Because the simcha is when you've learnt something through and you come to the end. If somebody comes 2 days before Erev Pesach and he's got 40 daf left or whatever it is, and he pushes 40 daf through in 2 or 3 days, then it's not called a siyum. He just rushed it off in order to finish off. You know, but the 9 days is a shayla. It's also a shayla. But yeah, we're makel nowadays. We're very makel about these things. But again, based on idea, because anybody who fasts the whole day might not be able to eat his matzah, might not be able to do all the halachas of the night, and therefore it would be a shame to fast and ruin all the day on the night. But I'm talking about the ikeh hadin, one, it's a shayla, whether if you just race along the sector to finish it. A siyum could be made also from not only of Mishnah of Masechta of Gemara. The Gemara talks about one of the Makoyos, one of the sources of siyums where somebody finished a sefer of Nevi'im. Didn't he finish it was Iyov. The Gemara says one of the Amiroim of Yuchnan finished Iyov
And he made a siam, which we had it in Daffy, I'm not in Daffy Emi, but those who are in Daffy Emi had it probably about a couple of weeks ago. He finished Sefer Iyuv. But Moshe Feinstein writes that if you write, you finish a Sefer Nevi'im, you have to have learnt it with a Rashi or a Radak, some source of a good explanation, because Nevi'im, to understand it, is difficult. Gemara, let's say, interestingly enough, you don't need to learn it with Rashi. If you didn't finish a whole Masechta Gemara without Rashi, you're Sefer Siyam. But the Moshe Feinstein writes about Nevi'im, if you want to finish a Sefer Nevi'im according to Siyam, you have to at least have learned Rashi. Okay, shkoyach.